1 Peter chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, "Be holy because I am holy." Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now you have that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers. Love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. This is the word of the Lord.
Friends, I said it on Friday, but for the benefit of those of you who were not here on Friday, and I'd like an explanation as to why you weren't later. I'd like to say what a thrill it is to be here with you. Maureen and I were at the church camp in 2016, at which I spoke, and it's great to be back with you again. And I also want to say how thrilled you people ought to be to have two such able ministers as Brian and Tim. I've known Brian for quite a long time. I'm only just getting to know Tim, but Tim wouldn't be here if Brian didn't think he was all right. So it's fantastic that you have two Bible-based ministers and their wives and families. So that's fantastic. Well, let's have a prayer together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you've gathered us together this morning, members of this congregation and maybe visitors from other churches or other places, and maybe people who've just come along for Easter Sunday. We thank you for gathering us together. And we pray now that you might help us to hear what you have to say through your word, and we pray that you might help us to put it into practice in our lives in the coming weeks. And we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, on Good Friday, we thought about Peter's eyewitness account of the rejection, the suffering, and the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. The evidence from an eyewitness is so compelling, and it's difficult to argue with. Peter saw it all. He was there. He was one of the first people whom Jesus called to follow him. He saw the miracles and he heard Jesus teach. He was one of the inner circle of Jesus' followers, of Peter, James and John. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus was betrayed by Judas. And, of course, Peter himself betrayed Jesus, for which he was later forgiven. And he was at the foot of the cross, and he saw Jesus die. And this same eyewitness helped Mark write his gospel. He preached the first sermons that are recorded for us in the book of Acts. And in those sermons, he emphasized the death and the events which followed the death of Jesus and, of course, his resurrection. And his two letters contain a great deal of information about Jesus' rejection, suffering, death and resurrection and his ascension. But Peter doesn't stop at giving us just facts surrounding Jesus' death and resurrection. He proceeds to give us 69 exhortations to his scattered Christian readers, scattered round much of modern-day Turkey, to help them live in the light of Jesus' death and resurrection, and as they waited for Jesus to return. So that's 69 exhortations in just 166 verses. When you get home sometime today, you might like to prove me wrong. Count up the number of verses, and that's not now. See if you can find the 69 exhortations. So let's look at what Peter has to say about the resurrection, and then about how God wants us to live as we wait for Jesus to come back. So first of all, the resurrection. Peter refers to the resurrection twice in these letters. And the first verse is going to appear on the screen. Why don't we read that out together? Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you. That is an amazing statement. And notice that I've got some words in red. It is out of God's mercy that he acted in the first place. God did all this not for his friends, because he didn't have any. We were all his enemies. Jesus died while we were still his enemies. And so God has acted in great mercy. And he's given us new birth. We talked about this on Friday. And it's interesting that John in his gospel talks about being born again in John chapter 3. In his conversation with a guy called Nicodemus, thank you, being still awake over there. And then James, in his letter, talks about the new birth. So this is not some weird idea that Peter had. This is God's word, and it is consistent through the scriptures, particularly in the New Testament, talking about the new birth, when we are born again, when we become a Christian. And then there is the next red word, the living hope. The living hope of being with God forever. It's not a cross your fingers sort of hope. It's a confident expectation of being with him forever. And then there's the inheritance that we receive of eternal life from God. Fantastic. So these gifts of God come as a result of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. If Jesus isn't risen from the dead, then we don't get any of this stuff. It's all irrelevant, because it didn't happen if Jesus is still dead and buried in some Middle Eastern grave. And then writing of the salvation which is ours in Christ, in 1 Peter chapter 3, he speaks about baptism as an outward expression of such salvation. And so Peter writes, it, or baptism, saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities and powers in submission to him. Now Peter's not saying that baptism saves you, but that you are saved because Jesus rose from the dead. Baptism is an outward expression of the faith that we have in the Lord Jesus. And if God could raise Jesus from the dead, which he did, then he can raise us from the dead when we have finished with this body, whether that is soon or later. He will raise us to be with him as well. So the resurrection of Jesus makes new birth possible. We have the living hope because Jesus is alive. We have salvation and the assurance of an inheritance in heaven only because Jesus is alive. Well then, in the light of the death and resurrection of Jesus, and in the light of we're waiting for him to come back, how then should we live? How then should we live? Well, we don't have time to look at all 69 exhortations that Peter gave to those scattered readers, but we do have time for a few. And the first is found in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11, and also in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 to 16. He says, live holy and godly lives. Here's the first exhortation that I'm mentioning. Live holy and godly lives. He's speaking to Christians. Be holy, because God is holy. And so he says, you ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. What's the day of God? The day of God is the day when the Lord Jesus comes back. And how do we speed the coming of the Lord Jesus? but by spreading the gospel, by telling others about Jesus, by helping people become Christians, live holy and godly lives. The second of the 69 that I'm mentioning is remember where your true citizenship is. Remember where your true citizenship is. Now, I know that some of our politicians in the federal parliament have had forgetful, they've been very forgetful of late, haven't they? They have forgotten where their true citizenship was. They were dual citizens, quite a lot of them. And I reckon there's quite a lot of dual citizens here this morning. We are dual citizens if we're Christians. So we might be Aussies, but we're also members of the kingdom of heaven. Dual citizens. Peter writes, live your lives as strangers here. And then in the very first verse of the letter, he says, he addresses his readers as strangers in the world. And then in chapter 2, he says, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world. What does it mean to be a stranger in the world? The Apostle Paul, writing to the Romans, says, don't let the world squeeze you into its mould. We are to live differently to the people who don't claim to be Christians. Our true citizenship is in heaven. And while we live in Asquith or on the Central Coast or in Gerringong or wherever else we might live, yes, we do live with the rest of the community, but our focus is to be on heaven. Our priorities are to be on the things of God. The way we spend our time, the way we spend our money, the way we use the gifts that God has given us, our true citizenship. We are to remember where our true citizenship is. So we're to live holy and godly lives. We're to remember our true citizenship. Thirdly, we're to be ready to witness for Christ. Peter writes in chapter 3, verse 15, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. Are we ready? Are we ready to give an answer to a family member, to a neighbour, to somebody at work or uni or school? Are we ready to give an answer for the hope that we have, the hope of heaven, the hope of Jesus being with us? Are we ready to give an answer? If we are, fantastic, let us pray for opportunities. When I go to table tennis on a Tuesday and a Friday, there are 25 to 35 people. Most of them, I reckon, are probably non-Christians. And I pray every time I go, the last 6 years, I've been praying that God will give me an opportunity to witness for him. Sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes I might miss them. Mind you, when somebody yells out when they hit a bad shot and they say, Jesus, I say, which table is he playing on? Little bit corny, but never mind. But I have had opportunities to speak about the Lord Jesus with people at table tennis. Are we ready? If we're not, if we don't know what to say, then why not speak to somebody else who you think would be able to help you to do that? And even do that, a Christianity Explored group that will better equip you. It's a great refresher course, as well as for people who are inquiring about Christianity. It's a great refresher course to remind us what it is that we believe and why we believe it. So there are three things of the 69. But wait, there's more. We're to love other Christians sacrificially. Peter writes, love one another deeply from the heart. He's writing to Christians. Love one another deeply from the heart. Why? Because you have been born again. you belong to a new family. Yes, you do belong to the old family, but you belong to one another. And so you folk who belong here at St John's, or if you're a visitor from some other church, whichever church it might be that you belong to, and it applies to Maureen and I at Gerringong, we're to love our Christian brothers and sisters deeply from the heart, sacrificially. Sacrificial love ought to be part of our character, reflecting God's character, because God showed his sacrificial love for us when Jesus stretched his arms out on the cross on Good Friday. We are to love one another sacrificially from the heart. And he says the same elsewhere. In chapter 2, he says, love the brotherhood. In chapter 3, he says, love as brothers and sisters. In chapter 4, he says, above all things, love each other deeply. Now, I've been a Christian since I was 17. I've belonged to churches over those years. I've been a minister since I was 23. And I've belonged to churches and been a minister in churches. And I've never had a moment's problem with anybody. No, I've never offended anybody. Nobody's ever been cross with me. I've never been narky with anybody in church. Can you believe that? No. You see, sometimes we do have difficulties with other people in church. But I'm always right. If people have difficulties with me, they're wrong. Friends, we need to love each other sacrificially. We need to love each other deeply from the heart. Then he says, use your God-given gifts. Peter writes, everyone should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Chapter 4 and verse 10. Now, I just happen to have noticed up at the back that you have a sheet of paper that all of you have already received, and of course you've already filled them in. It says, fellow workers 2018, where can I use my gifts in 2018 and beyond? So there's a great pile of these forms being filled in, and you've all ticked different boxes about how you can serve God. Is that right? My suspicion is that some of you don't know these forms are at the back. My suspicion is that some of them are on the kitchen table at home or at the bottom of all the pile of magazines, and you haven't quite got there yet. May I encourage you to prayerfully consider how you will use your God-given gifts in this church this year. Tim and Brian might be ministers, but let me remind you that every Christian is called to be a minister. Every Christian to exercise their ministry. Now, you might look through the list and think, well, I'm too old, or I'm too this, or I'm too that. You could add some other boxes to this list. Sorry, Brian, I should have consulted you before this. You could add other boxes. You could say, prayer. I will promise to pray for the people in our contact booklet every day. I will promise to try and encourage somebody in our church. I'm not sure that appears in the list. You could add your own boxes and give them a tick if you think that you're not up to doing some of these. But prayerfully consider filling in that sheet, because God wants us to use the gifts that he has given us. And I know that in this church, I've only been here since Friday, but I've seen a lot of people using their God-given gifts. And that's fantastic. Fantastic. The last one I've got to share with you is persevere as a Christian in the light of Jesus' return. Peter writes, stand fast in the grace of God. Stand fast, stand firm as a Christian. Chapter 5, verse 12. As the years go on, we may well experience more opposition for being a Christian. We've experienced it late last year. You just have to open your mouth being a Christian and bang, somebody metaphorically punches you in the nose for being this or that or the other. More opposition, more sarcasm, and even persecution for Christ. False teachers may try and lead you astray from God's revealed truth in the Bible. This may be a conversation and maybe a book that somebody gives you. It might be a DVD, a television show, whatever it might be. Personal tragedies, they happen in every family from time to time. Personal tragedies may cause us to question God's goodness and love. Satan may use all sorts of things to make us fall and deny Christ. So we need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and in prayerful dependence on God and being regularly together in the company of loving fellow Christians, stand firm to the end of our lives. I've already caused somebody to start crying. So we need to stand firm in the light of the fact that he's coming back. Well, by way of conclusion, we've heard from an eyewitness, Peter, the truth of the resurrection of Jesus. And while this is a fact of history, it's also relevant for us as Christians today. And in the light of the new birth that God gives us, and the salvation that he gives us, we have, as a result of Jesus' resurrection, Peter gives us 69, go and find them, 69 exhortations to those scattered readers and to ourselves. And we've looked at just six of them. Live holy and godly lives. Remember where your true citizenship is. Be ready to witness for Christ. Love other Christians begrudgingly, sacrificially. Use your God-given gifts and persevere as a Christian. The resurrection of Jesus is an indispensable truth upon which our very salvation depends. So be confident that Jesus is alive today and live to bring him glory and to be ready for his return. Now I'm going to lead us in a prayer. It's a prayer that you may have prayed before. It's a prayer that you may never have prayed before. I'm going to read it through so that we know what it says, and then invite you to silently echo it in your head as I say it again. Almighty God, I thank you for the life that you've given me and for sending your Son, the Lord Jesus, to die in my place on the cross on the first Good Friday and raising him from the dead on Easter Day. Please forgive me for my rebellion against you or for just treating you as though you don't exist. Please help me to live my life for you instead of myself. So let's pray, and I'll pray that again. And if you wish to, echo it in your head and join in saying the Amen, the I agree, at the end. Almighty God, I thank you for the life that you've given me and for sending your Son, the Lord Jesus, to die in my place on the cross on the first Good Friday and raising him from the dead on Easter Day. Please forgive me for my rebellion against you or for just treating you as though you don't exist. Please help me to live my life for you instead of myself. Amen.
Well, thanks, David. We've heard a lot about the fact that Jesus died and rose again and how we should live in response. And if you prayed that prayer with David then for the first time, like he did when he was 17 on a church camp, or if you've prayed that prayer, be assured that God has heard your prayer and that you are forgiven and the angels are rejoicing in heaven. But as we've heard, there are implications for how to live in response to giving your life to Jesus. And that is where we as a church family can give you help. So can I invite you all to take out these cards which are inside your news sheet. On one side it says, Welcome to St John's Asquith. On the other side at the top it says, Name. And there are five boxes down the side. Also there are pens in front of you on the rails there. Just find one of those. If you don't have a pen and you need one, put your hand up and Tim will give you one. But we'd like everyone to take a minute to fill this card in. If you prayed that prayer, tick the first box. I prayed the prayer to become a Christian today. If you'd like to find out more and to be absolutely confident that Jesus is alive today, tick the second box. Contact me about the Christianity Explored course. This course asks three questions. Who is Jesus? Why did he come? And how should we live in response? So if you'd like some information about the course, tick that and we'll get in touch with you. If you just want to know more about our St John's church family, tick that box. If you want to become a member of St John's, tick that box. And if you're already a member here at St John's Asquith, tick the last box. So we can get in touch with you. We need a name and either an email address or a phone number. And then if you've just ticked one box, on the other side you can write a comment. It might be a prayer request, might be a comment about the service. It might be that you were really pleased that Maureen's beating David in Scrabble for this year. Whatever. Just take a moment to write a comment as well if you'd like to do so. So take a minute to fill them in now and then they'll be collected a little bit later on. So just take a moment to do that. Well, a little bit later, the offertory bags will be passed around, and if you could insert those cards into the bags when they come by. And we're going to actually do that now as we sing our offertory song, Glorious Day, which reminds us again of the death and resurrection of Jesus. We collect the offertory here to support the work of getting the message out about Jesus. But if you are new here today, please be our guest. And don't feel obliged to give, but if everyone could put those cards in as the cards are passed in. We stand to sing.